Thank you, Jeremy. 248-539-9797. If you just got up or on your way to work, thank you for joining us. I'm Stoney, in for Jim, who's in Banff. John is here. We got the Gov, Heather, and Greg Hargrave, as always. And last night, while I was having dinner with my daughter and her boyfriend, the Tigers game was going on, and I was following the game on the phone and getting text messages from these guys and another one of my friends. And I DVR'd the game, so I went back and watched a lot of it. And
what restaurant were you at where they weren't showing the Tiger game?
Called Eddie's Gourmet, which is a little, it's kind of like a divey place in on Greenfield Road in Oak Park. That, because we went to someplace else, but there was like a 35, 40 minute wait. So I was like, let's try this other place that I've been to once, usually for lunch. But they have these great, great thing. They're called Hawaiian fries that I can't describe them. They're great.
Hawaiian kind of fries, like you cheese. Can't describe them.
Well, they're fries, but with the cheesy on them with some kind of like spices and things like that. They're unbelievable.
So it's cheese different. Fries with Hawaiian spice.
Basically, but it's a little different because they take longer to make or whatever. They're really good. And I just had basically a salad stuff. They have everything there.
And the Hawaiian fries.
And the Hawaiian fries, of course.
Okay.
That's the only reason I went there. If they didn't have Hawaiian fries, I probably wouldn't have gone there.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, unlike the Canadian fries.
With poutine.
And,
It's different. It's unique.
Okay.
Trust me. It's unique. I might not be able to describe it very well.
Oh, no. I think we got there.
All right. Anyway, so I'm getting texts from this guy, and you guys on a group text. Oh, it looks like Little League and all this. I said, God, and I'm following the game. And, you know, I see that the Pirates scored on an error, but I didn't see what the error was until I got home.
Yes.
And I saw that the Tigers baited it. I remember I said, well, they scored a run, so it's 3-1. And then when I refreshed my phone, it said 3-0.
They took a run off the board.
They took a run off the board. What the hell happened? How does that happen? So I saw. And let's deal with some of this, the plays, first of all. The play that I want to discuss first is the mental mistake by Spencer Torkelson. It was just absolutely ridiculous. You had, a guy on second base, O'Neill Cruz. It's ground ball to third. McKinstry makes the play, throws it over, bad throw. Here's Dan Dickerson with the rest. The error was actually charged to McKinstry.
Yes, and I would have preferred, I'm not going to call Dan out. It wasn't a mental error. It was an effort error.
Yeah, in real time, you almost couldn't believe it. Like, that's why I text you, Stoney. I was besides myself when I watched this. Routine ground ball to McKinstry. Fields it. Didn't make the best of throws. It was off the bags. Torkelson stretches to try to get it.
Right.
McKinstry did look back Cruz. So Cruz didn't advance hardly at all to third base. Ball trickles by Torkelson 5 to 7 feet. And he just slowly turns around and maybe does a mini jog to the ball. And I am sitting there right there in real time, and all of a sudden I become Little League third base coach. And I'm like,
Go, let's go.
FanDuel shows O'Neill Cruz starting to go down the third base line, and his eyes light up like he's 10. And he goes. He scored on a ground ball to third base. It didn't get down the first base line, the throw and all that.
Looked back and still scores from second base.
Yes, that is Little League mistakes.
And then later in the game, when the Tigers trailing 3-0, it looked like they got their first run. Not so fast,
my friend.
Yes, they challenged, and it was discovered that Wenzel Perez, even though he had a head first slide, looked like it was all over the plate. It really wasn't. He never touched the plate.
What?
Yeah. Never touched the frickin' plate.
He beat the throw.
Yes.
He didn't need to pull one of these reaches. He simply slid in the wrong spot. Yeah. Again, that's a Little League mistake.
That's a mental.
And I give Benetti credit. I think he saw it in real time that he was out because he was questioning it right away.
Yeah.
And all the replays showed that it was inconclusive until they got the shot, the last one, and it was like, oh my, he missed the plate.
Yeah. And last night was frustrating because now they're 2-8 in the last 10. Haven't played well before the break. Didn't play well during the break. Didn't play well after the break. They got a Scooble win. But other than that, they're doing all the things wrong that they didn't do early in the season. Mm-hmm. They didn't give up the extra 90. They didn't give up the extra runner. They didn't give up or make a lot of fielding errors to allow a team to score when they could have been out of an inning. Like, they're doing all the things wrong last night. And AJ said it, like, that was, it was a bad mental game.
No doubt about it.
And when it's a team, sorry, Stoney.
That's okay.
When it's a team that is good, but not great, you have to take advantage of every opportunity to either get out of an inning, to get runners across the home plate, and they're just not doing all the little things that we saw them do early in the season.
They're starting to swing at some bad pitches. Riley Green, their all-star, and he's having a terrific season. But he struck out, what, three times again last night?
Yep.
Was it?
Yeah. Add to his MLB leading strikeout total.
Yeah, he was projected yesterday, what was it, 212? I didn't even check the new projections after a three-strikeout performance yesterday.
And they're starting pitchers the last 2 days who are probably number two and number four in your projected playoff rotation.
Yes.
Are getting lit up by the worst hitting team in baseball. They've pitched combined seven innings the last two nights.
So
the Pirates are horrible offensively.
So where does now starting pitching come into your wish list for next Thursday? Because a week ago, bullpen, two guys, hopefully, one right-handed bat, and we're set. No, they, I think, might need another pitcher based upon what we've seen so far. And unless that other pitcher is making his major league debut today in Melton.
Right. Well, you're not going to completely revamp the entire roster over a trade deadline. I still think it's relief in terms of relief pitchers. It's a bat. And I know that they need a right-handed bat because they have all these lefties that are, you know, good hitters against righties, but I don't care where the production comes from, either side of the plate. We just need more production at the plate. We need more power.
I think the reason besides the obvious righty versus lefty, reason they want a right-hander is the way AJ finagles his lineup right, left, and, you know, mixes and matches, so you have to have another right-handed hitter in there, and who's not Jones.
Correct.
Even though he hit a monster home run last night.
He did.
That was a funny thing.
So did Jake Rogers.
Yeah. The two guys who are hardly going to bat, if at all, in the playoffs got your runs last night.
Yeah.
The fact that their first run of the series got taken off the board. I mean, it's just very laughable. Hopefully, like, to me, if I was AJ, he probably saw signs that this is a little worrisome. Wouldn't say it. Probably wouldn't even say it to the team. Try to let the team work through it. Mm-hmm. I think last night he got some ammo in terms of, we can't tolerate this. You go out and give max effort all the time.
Right. And then you got guys like Colt Keith, who we thought 3 weeks ago really started turning it around, was really starting to hit the ball really well, and now he's in a 1-for-24. Look, every player, Judge, all these guys, they go through these little slumps, okay? But the problem with what's happening right now to the Tigers is it seems like the majority of the players are going through these ridiculous slumps. And that's what's leading to the fact that they're, you know, what, 2-8 in their last 10 games?
Well, you just want to go big picture. I know Mike referred to it yesterday about a 40-game window of .500 baseball. Mm-hmm. They're now one under when Meadows returned early June. That's like June 2nd.
Right. Yeah, because I think they were, what, 20-20? Now they're like, what, 20-21?
Yes, and now they're 6-8 since Vierling came back the second time, June 28th. I'd know that those guys don't hurt the culture of the team. I'm confident of that. But the return of them into playing and working through kind of their spring training in the regular season, but also I just wonder if the other players on the team have kind of taken off the urgency, like, accelerate. You know what I'm saying? Like, they kind of like, oh, these guys are here. I can not maybe be quite as focused. I mean, John, that's a question for you almost in terms of, like, professional athletes. Do they do that when guys return? Do everybody else kind of take a breath, you know? I know you don't want to, but...
No, I don't know that they necessarily take a breath, and especially at this level where you know it's going to take a certain amount of at-bats for a guy generally to get going. Like, it's not like bringing back a superstar where you just expect them to hit the ground running and hey, bats are bats. But because the other thing is when they bring a guy up, what are they doing? They're sending somebody down. And so that gives you a heightened awareness that, hey, you know what, if I'm not producing, and we've seen it. Parker Meadows last year went down. Spencer Torkelson went down. You know, and we talked about the superstar Akil Badu. He's been up and down. Like there are signs where when a guy comes up and he's expected to perform, there's also somebody that goes down, and you don't want that to be you. So there should be a push to make sure that that's not going to be you.
Right, because a lot of these guys have been sent down, have not come back up. Hello, right. Andy Abanez. Mm-hmm. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. AJ Hinch joins us at 8:35.
Hey, summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so it's easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes, sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
And the Tigers lose 8-5. They will be playing this afternoon right here on these airwaves.
Yep.
Major league debut.
12:35.
Mm-hmm. Melton making the deal, making mm-hmm. his debut for the yep. Tigers.
Troy Melton, let's see what he's got.
Maybe he can find lightning in a bottle. Because as a ticket texter points out, he says, quote, they're unfortunately waiting on Alex Cobb and Jose Urquidy. They're only going to trade for a bullpen. Urquidy is the guy used to played for the Astros. Had surgery. Went to the Mexican League, and he's rehabbing as we speak. He had a really good year in 2022 or 2023. Yeah.
You think we'll ever see Cobb?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe we'll ask AJ. I don't know. To me, that's. Was a ridiculous
don't waste
signing.
One of your questions on him.
No. I'm just asking Stoney.
Yeah. Here's some ticket text. Carpenter was like 2-for-32 before he was injured, so I don't know what all this hope is for his return, Matt in Kalamazoo. It's more of a track record overall in his short career.
Yes.
The thing that scares me is when the Tigers lose or have a bad weekend, when they get a day off, they are able to reset and come back. Hot. Now when we get a break, it seems we come back even worse, and that's scary. They had a day off, before the Seattle series?
Then they had a few days off for the break. But they haven't, they have not had a day off since the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to have a day off until the trade deadline, mm-hmm. the 31st. That's our next day off.
Cobb signing is rearing its ugly head. That's from Nick and Shelby. Well, Guff pointed out off the air that, if they would have taken that money and signed, instead of for Cobb and Flaherty, and signed maybe a top-of-the-line pitcher, I don't know who else was out there off the top of my head, they'd be better off.
I mean, they might not be, because what's his face? Who's the big pitcher that moved in the offseason? Burns,
he got hurt.
Yeah. Double-edged sword with that stuff. I was just looking. Yeah. The Tigers sent out a medical update yesterday.
Yeah, I saw.
8 of the 9 guys on the list are pitchers. Only Kerry Carpenter.
Right.
You got names that are obviously like Jackson Jobe, and you're not getting anything soon.
No.
But a lot of the guys are in, like Alex Lane sounds like he might be pretty close.
Yes, because he was real close, then had another setback. He's back in Toledo. Guys, the Tigers right now are a hard watch. I had to turn the game off. My buddies and me have started our own betting game over-under on Riley Green's strikeouts. Right now, he seems to go to the plate looking defeated. I don't know if I'd go that far yet as far as looking defeated. He does seem to love the fastball at his eyes.
Yeah, I just – when the Tigers are at the plate right now, it doesn't feel like anybody's up there with a whole lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say defeated. It just doesn't feel like there's a lot of confidence at the plate.
Yes. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. AJ Hinch will join us live from Pittsburgh at 8:35. Right now, live from Southfield is Heather Park.
Well, a man who spent 11 years in jail for a crime he did not commit is now suing the city of Detroit and its police and fire departments over the conviction. So back in 2009, this man, Dwayne Williams, was accused of setting a house on fire that killed two people. Several years later, he was charged with two counts of felony murder, as well as a ton of other charges as well. And he was found guilty. So he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Well, in 2024, thanks to some new evidence, he had his conviction, you know,
vacated.
Overturned. Vacated. And now he and his attorney are seeking a jury trial and more than $100 million in damages from the city of Detroit, as well as its police and fire departments.
That's a long time.
It's a long, I mean, any time in jail for a crime you didn't commit is too long.
Yeah, but 11 years
is a very long time. The UFL is getting blown up. According to reports, the league is experiencing a major shakeup for the 2026 season, and the Michigan Panthers are among four teams that are slated for relocation.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer, especially because of those four teams, Michigan is the only one that actually saw growth.
Yeah,
out of increase. All of them.
Yeah, yep. And fan attendance.
But it's alleged that the UFL is relocating its teams from Michigan, Houston, Birmingham, and Memphis. And it sounds like they're going to some new markets in Florida, likely Orlando, Boise, Columbus, and Kentucky.
Boy, nothing says professional football like Boise.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Are they going to use the blue turf?
I don't know. That's right. They probably should. I mean, that is their professional team.
Yeah. Listen to this story, you guys. There's a fire department in Maryland that's in some pretty big trouble after they allegedly flooded a baseball field after a ball damaged a pickup truck that was parked by the station. So the Silver Spring Tacoma Thunderbolts, they're a summer baseball team. They play on a field that's right next door to the fire station.
Yeah.
And according to players, a ball hit this pickup truck that was near the station, and then the fire department sprayed gallons of water over the fence onto the baseball field. And the team has kind of been documenting what's been going on social media, calling everything a clown show. They say center field is just flooded, a pond. Yeah. They've had to cancel several games, relocate their playoff game due to this flooding. They've actually filed a police report. And several days later, after the initial incident, the fire department did issue an apology to the players, the team, fans, basically anybody impacted by the flooding, but they do say the incident does remain under investigation.
So, I mean, if this is a foul ball that hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if they're sitting there hitting home run derby, trying to hit the fire department, like different context there, but it doesn't sound like this is something that was intentional.
And I could see, okay, the fire department wanted to play a little joke and just spray a little bit, fine. But
gallons and gallons of water to flood the field. It was more like of a retaliation is what it definitely was. Not like a, this is funny, let's spray you with some water. Not like that. Tributes just continue to pour in from music legends and celebrities following the news of Ozzy Osbourne's death. We know his story, most of us, I think. I mean, I never followed him, but, you know, I remember the whole, like, bat biting.
Yeah.
Like, things like that are what I don't know his music. I never followed his career except for his MTV reality show. Yeah, with his family. I saw that when I was younger. But he lived with Parkinson's disease for years. And earlier this month, just about 2.5 weeks ago, he played a farewell show. He sat on a throne, right, as he did his last show. So, sad news for sure. Yeah. But everyone, you name an artist.
He's a legend.
They've shared their thoughts and their their sympathy for his family online. So
he was a legend.
He was a legend.
Godfather of heavy metal.
Damn right.
Black Sabbath. Is that what they called him?
Some people did. I don't know if that was his official, because they called him the Prince of Darkness or something.
Yeah, I saw that too.
But I listened to War Pigs on the way in. Classic. Black Sabbath. Pigs.
Yeah.
Precisely classic. Why I didn't listen to that music. I could tell you I wouldn't listen to that based on the name of the song.
Great song.
Iron
Look out for the War Pigs.
Iron Man, Crazy Train, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. This is the ultimate Florida story I found, you guys. There's a 38-year-old guy in Florida who is now facing charges after troopers say he took his riding lawnmower on a busy highway while intoxicated.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So the Florida Highway Patrol started getting calls last Friday morning about this guy riding on his lawnmower, erratically weaving in and out of traffic as best he could, right? So when officers arrived and they found this guy, he instantly showed several signs of impairment, and he did refuse a field sobriety test, but was arrested right then and there.
Hey, you gotta get from point A to point B.
Yeah, this is kind of cool, sort of, I think. Maybe. I'd have to see how it works. There is a group of tech guys in Amsterdam that just created a new gadget, I guess you could say, called Dream Recorder. That will turn your dreams into videos. And I've always said, gosh, wouldn't it be amazing if I could go back and rewatch my dreams? But that's not exactly how this works, right? Because they're not like connecting anything to your brain waves. What you have to do is you have to wake up and remember your dream and then describe what it was, and it will turn your description into a video, sort of. It's not even a really great video from what I saw. It looks like kind of like an alarm clock. Ish size, and it does have a screen on the front of it, and it shows like colorful, like low def clips of your dream.
Wow,
that you can watch back.
Huh. I wonder how accurate it is for those that do remember their dreams, and then they wake up and they're like, "Yeah, it's not it at all."
It says it can store a week's worth of dreams, and it's meant for reflecting on the meaning of your dreams as they echo into waking life.
Huh.
Wow. So, do you want this for the dreams with Jim?
I don't. I knew that. Once I didn't realize it when I saw the story, but now that I read it out loud, of course, I don't want it to play back all of my dreams, but it could.
Thank you, Brian.
Will you show it to Colin?
Yeah, he can watch it.
Yeah.
Let's go to break.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say something. I edited myself. AJ Hinch joins us next. 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, a few years ago, my wife and I knew that we had to put a new roof on the house, and we gave Rapid Roofing a call. Mike Beattie and his team came out. They did a full inspection on the roof, set the drone up. They went up on the roof, told us exactly what needed to happen, and they didn't put us through a high-pressure sales event saying, well, if you sign with us today, we're going to give you X number of dollars off. If we leave... that deal goes away. No, it wasn't high pressure. They also offer flexible financing. Rapid Roofing, you can get them on the phone at 888-360-ROOF. They get most jobs done in a day, and it's exactly what they did for our house. They showed up in the morning, ripped the roof off, made the repairs, put the roof back on, cleaned everything up, and they were gone. It was a great process. They did everything that they thought that, or that they said they were going to do. It's a no-pressure sales approach. It's family-owned and operated. It's a local company. Keep your money local. Rapid Roofing installs, as I mentioned, most roofs in just one day. You can get them on the phone, 888-360-ROOF, or you can find more information on the web at rapidroofing.com.
Good morning, AJ. How are you?
How do you think I am?
I know. Well, I'm just trying to... Okay. All right, well, because I was going to say, your main job today is trying to calm the panic in this city right now, because people and fans and some of us are kind of freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, we've got to play better, obviously. And, man, it feels like forever ago when we won the series against Tampa at home. It's been three series, and, you know, we haven't done enough to win, and I understand how that creates some stress on a lot of levels. And last night, I think, was probably worthy of angst and frustration because of the way that we just mentally fatigued our way to some really poor baseball. But it doesn't define us, but it, you know, we recognize, like, this has not been a great stretch, and we control that by bringing it today, salvage a game. We have a really fun homestand coming up, and there are a lot of teams that would trade places with us. Maybe not the way we got there in the last week to 10 days, but we have a good team, and we will bounce out of this, but we definitely need to bounce out of this.
Do you feel a sense of urgency from the players? And in that sense of urgency, if you do, is there the threat of they're trying to force themselves, each individual, to pull the team out of it all by themselves?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And I do – there's a ton of urgency. And I think that's what probably people don't see or don't appreciate is just how much it matters to these guys. And, yeah, of course there's urgency and plenty of frustration. Our sport is designed to, like, just kind of beat you down over the course of 162. So we play today. So, like, do I want to talk a ton about last night in that clubhouse and continue to remind them, you know, how we let that one slip away and just didn't execute on a lot of levels? Like, no, we got to get our focus on Bailey Falter and trying to keep this Pirates offense has really struggled. Double-digit hits, five guys that had two or more hits yesterday. You know, we just haven't beat them at baseball. So I'm focused on what we can do today. I think our players are carrying a little bit of that burden. Like, I'm going to be the guy and do a little bit too much. And, you know, there was some positive last night. We got Bednar in the game. We hit a couple homers. Hopefully we can kind of catapult ourselves to a win today before a really tough homestand. But, you know, it's not a lack of, like, desire or effort or focus. Like, we've just played poorly at some really bad times of some games, and now it's piled up series after series, and we can correct it today.
You've always been very calm and patient with us. You've always – it's one of 162, and I know you mentioned this has been a tough stretch, and I don't know if this happened – or would happen at this time. Has there ever a moment where you've gone full fire and brimstone and just, you got to get after them because you get frustrated as well?
Yeah. Well, I'd never tell you because it's counterproductive to like talk about, you guys can talk about stuff, but that's not how you run a team.
Yeah.
By coming out publicly and lashing, you know, out about your players and giving away things that I've had some private moments with these guys, but just know we're all focused on being better. And we were the first team to 30 wins, 40 wins, 50 wins, 60 wins. We can still be the first team to 70 wins. And that gets lost in sort of the beatdown for all of us, fans, players, coaches, managers, when you go through back-to-back bad series after the All-Star break. So there's plenty of passion involved with me and others. And it's not a productive way to run a team by showcasing all that all the time.
For those who've watched baseball for a long time, great teams have streaks where they get really hot. And conversely, they have streaks like you guys are going through. I mean, every team goes through this. But to me, is it fair? What's disconcerting to me is it seems like, you know, bullpen and now even the starting pitching and the lack of hitting, it's all at once. Usually you just have one person or a few guys having a – but now, you know, you can go with Cole Keith as 1-for-24 and go on the starting pitching. Is that disconcerting at all?
Yeah, well, you just kind of gave the cliff notes of how you put together, you know, a sweep by the Mariners, a loss to the Rangers – a series loss to the Pirates. I mean, all those things contribute. And so obviously we've got to focus on the work and getting these guys going. We have a good team and we can't possibly have put these wins together, you know, without the production of all of those guys. So when it happens all at the same time, like, yeah, it's a problem. Like that's why our sport cannot be carried by, you know, one player. It takes the starting pitcher has to get us off to a good start. Today, that's Troy Melton making his major league debut. The bullpen, yeah, we need the guys to come in and like Will Vest did in on Sunday Night Baseball and put the game away. And if your best players don't contribute in the middle of the order, it gets harder and harder. But it is what it is, and the answers are internal, and we need to, you know, kind of get after it today, salvage a win, and try to flush this bad set of games, you know, put it behind us.
You mentioned Troy Melton starting today. Why was that now the right time to, you know, to give him the ball on the mound?
Yeah, so he's nasty, first off. He's really good. And you know, you're going to see some high-end velo. You're going to see some secondary pitches. You know, obviously we hope he pounds the strike zone. So he'd earned his way from AA to AAA and now AAA to the big leagues. And we've been excited about Troy and the thought that he could help this rotation at some time this summer. So giving the whole rotation an extra start going into the Toronto series, which has turned out to be a really, really cool series for everybody involved, was important. And we're continuing to try to kind of find the spark of guy that can come up and contribute to a win. So he's I'm excited for him. He's excited. His family flew in from Southern California. You know, I'm not sure they may have loved the flight from Newport Beach to Pittsburgh. That's probably as hard a flight as you can have. But But man, he's a talented kid, and now's the right time to see what we have with this kid and see if he can help us, put up a good start and get us on a better track.
I want to ask you about Riley Green, AJ. He's obviously a terrific player. He's an all-star. Lots of home runs, but conversely, almost historic strikeout pace if he keeps it up. Did he do something with his swing that has changed his game from a guy who would drive the ball in the gaps to you guys maybe wanted him to hit more home runs and that's leading to the strikeouts? Or is it just he's swinging a lot of pitches in his eyes right now?
Yeah, he's trying to do too much. He's like the definition of the guy who's trying to he's in the middle of our order. He's a featured player. He's an all-star. He hears about it. Like he wants to be the guy. And we want him to be a complete hitter. We would never tell him, hey, just sell out for home runs. He does swing hard. He swings often. He has swung and missed a lot. He's off today. Probably the mental reset needed for him after really hectic last week of the all-star game. And then he hasn't really gotten off to a great start in this post all-star break. So I think the overswinging, swinging at too many pitches, that is kind of signals to me that he's just trying to do too much and ignite this offense. He hit a homer on a first pitch fastball when we were down in Texas. I thought that might maybe get him better. But when we see Riley Green good, it's not the sellout full homer. Those are majestic and cool, and it's where we're reminded how good he is. He's up to, 25, 26 homers already, and it's more of a complete hitter who's getting hits along the way as well.
We're 8 days away from the deadline. How tough is it as a manager to, talk to your players? I know some teams, they want their front office, their ownership to go, we're close, go for it, let's do it. And others, they want to be here, yeah, and they know that they may be gone.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And I think we have our hands full on a lot of things that we need to deal with that don't involve the trade deadline. We know that's there. Everybody knows it. They get asked about it every day. Media, we try not to talk about it a ton because it's out of our control in the field. We do want the front office to look into the different things, and they're going to. They're going to do their part, try to make this team better. We need to make this team better on the field, and the execution issues are front and center more than, the headlines and rumors and curiosity. And, I don't want that to bleed into these players wondering if they're going to be a part of it. That's a hard task this time of year with the volume of attention that the deadline brings, but it's the fastest way to be bad.
We're seeing a story that right-hander RJ Pettit has been promoted to Toledo. Is he going to be a guy you're going to bring up soon?
I don't know. I mean, he's anytime you get promoted in the minor leagues, that's good. You want to be going that way. You don't want to be going the other way that often. So we saw him in spring. He's done everything he can in Double A. Now he's going to get promoted. Big physical kid. I think he got in his first Triple A game last night. So, a lot of times these are development topics that, guys can, and there's opportunity to be had across the whole organization. And we saw a lot of promotions around the Futures game and All-Star game with some of the top prospects. You're going to see arms start to move and give these kids some challenges. But it's not always directly tied to what's going on in the big leagues. But when you get to AAA, you're a phone call away.
All right. AJ, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Good luck this afternoon.
You got it. Take care. You're going to be okay.
All right. Thank you. That's AJ Hinch, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, you guys, it's Heather, and if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with My Plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for a low price of just $50 a month when you switch and bring your phone on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they've got your back, now and in the future. So go ahead, take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. AJ was pretty damn honest there.
Yeah. I mean, as honest as he can be. I knew he wasn't going to say, yeah, I ripped the guys last night.
No.
But, I mean, I just want to know, does he have that? Is like, has it happened in his coaching career where he just, you know, he can't take it anymore? He just reaches a level of frustration. And because I know the fans, they just want to know that the team feels the same way they do. And, yeah, nobody likes to lose. No one goes out there to... At the start of the game, I don't think Spencer Torkelson said, you know what, I'm going to give this one 80%. It was a mental lapse, you know, in regards to that one. Same thing with Perez at home. It was a mental lapse. And Riley Green, I thought was a great question about that, and he said, yeah, he's going to have the day off today, a chance to mentally reset. They're going straight from the All-Star break all the way till the 31st.
Right.
At some point, especially in a series like this or in a stretch like this, you're going to have to take a step back and just get that mental reset.
I do want to announce that the Tigers might add Tarek Skubal to the paternity list today, creating a spot for Troy Melton. This is the Evan Woodbury tweet. Skubal would then be reinstated after Friday's game, at which point Montero could go to Toledo or the bullpen.
Okay.
Because right now, as we mentioned, the starting rotation for the Jays series is Olsen on Thursday, Montero Friday, Skubal Saturday, and Flaherty versus Scherzer. It's an amazing matchup between the pitcher that Gov can't stand the most versus one of his favorites of all time. Flaherty versus Scherzer.
All right, there's other pitchers I dislike. I know.
Buck Farmer, he's not coming back soon.
he's my guy.
I know. Yeah. My head is
he still in the
here.
League?
I don't
he
think
was with
so.
The Reds.
Yeah, I know. No, I think he's done finally.
Do you guys trust me to throw something at you completely spontaneously on the air? This happened during the AJ Hinch interview. And it's not you guys. It's okay. Something I just observed.
Okay.
So I'm watching ESPN get up, and they're got Heather Dinich and Paul Feinbaum on talking about SEC media days. And in the first second I looked at Paul Feinbaum, he colors his Bozo ring. He's not on there anymore, Sony. Okay. This happened during the AJ Hinch interview. Who colors their Bozo ring?
Bozo.
Wait. Did I miss something here?
Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah.
You know what he looks like, right? First off, he has the most inexcusable hairstyle possible.
Yeah.
Just cut it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, you don't. Who decides to have just hair?
Oh, he
the Bozo ring.
Okay, okay, I got you now. I thought it was the actual ring, the Bozo. I don't have the same.
It's darker.
Yeah, I don't necessarily recognize the bald guy lingo.
Right,
you're not. And so when you said the Bozo the ring, I was not ready for the Bozo.
So
ring.
You choose to go with the worst hairstyle in mankind, right, Heather? The Bozo ring, and then you dye it. Who dyes their Bozo ring?
You guys, I mean, just people have a big attachment to their hair.
Well, okay, what's worse, the Bozo ring?
You should shave it all, but I get it.
The Bozo ring or like the Gene Cady?
If yours grew, would that be how it would grow
in? No, because I got this little like patch here. I could have a tail in the front if I let it just grow out. See, why can't he just be like,
you know what?
You guys are missing the point here. It's not about
I know. I never heard of.
I don't know that anybody gets that upset about it other than other bald dudes.
Honestly, who would take the time to color just a half a head of hair? Especially the Bozo ring style.
I'm sure he's not the only one.
Yeah,
All right, if you have a Bozo ring, give us a buzz. Do you color your hair?
Heather does.
Yes.
Heather does hairstyling on the side sometimes.
Have you ever done a Bozo ring?
I've never.
Ma'am, please trim this, and then I'd like you to color it black.
She works with Bozos, but she
is. It's true. Yes. No, I've never seen it. No, I don't know anybody in real life, like personally, that has. Yeah. I've never heard it called a Bozo ring either.
Yeah, that's why I didn't catch on to what he was talking about. I'm like, did I miss something?
Okay, yes. So what's worse, the Bozo ring or the comb over?
Comb over.
Yeah, I think so too.
100%. Why are you keeping little strands of hair on your head to brush over to make it look like you're not bald when clearly we all know you're bald?
Right.
Just shave it off.
How about real old guy, like I'm old, but I mean real old guy with the ponytail. Have you seen that look?
Of course. Oh,
the bozo ring that they pull, that they grow out and pull into a ponytail?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. Or it goes on and it's like...
Well, you really don't want to give it up at that point.
Yeah, anyway, back to AJ.
Yeah, back to the performance we saw last night, which I guess you could. That's a clown show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You're
trying to bring the bozo back together. Yeah, making the transition here.
I got it. Yeah, but you're right, Riley Green. I mean, I'm glad we're not alone here.
Right.
In seeing this, I thought he was going to say, "Yeah, well, we tried to change his launch angle or something like that," and no, he's swinging a lot of bad pitches.
Yeah. He has been swinging at bad pitches, and it kind of feels like what AJ was talking about. Like, he is the guy that there's pressure on him to bring them out of this slump, to get some big swings, to get some big contact, get on base, be the guy that – be the all-star that he's been for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because it's Scooble on the mound, and at the plate it should be Riley Green.
Right. Those are the guys.
Yeah, and he won't have that opportunity today. I think it's a much-needed day off for him. Mm-hmm. Maybe he can get that mental reset and then come back against Toronto and be that guy.
You know, it's so hard, though, to sit there, all right, when the team's struggling. And look, he's part of it. But when you need something and your all-star's not playing today, that's hard to take, too, sometimes, as a fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard to take as a fan.
Right.
I mean, it's frustrating, and that's why I asked the question about just his reaction, and I didn't think he was going to say, yeah, I chewed him out last night. But most of the time, fans just – I think that's why everybody identifies with Dan Campbell so well, because he wears his emotions on his sleeve.
Well, we got that text today about, AJ needs to do a Jim Leland.
Right, and it's – it's every sport is a little bit different in how you're going to deal with it, because in football, all right, you can go off on guys and you're not going to say it publicly most of the time, but you get 7 days before the next game.
Mm-hmm.
You go off on the team last night, you're back at it today, and there's just a different psychology, and there's a different relationship that he has with his players than other managers have with their players.
Correct. Yeah. So. All right. 248-539-9797. Here's Jeremy Otto.
Do you think you did go off?